So, as I get started, you're going to have to excuse me. I wrote everything down so I don't forget anything, so we'll see how this goes. You'll have to bear with me. This is my first time attempting to do this. And I'll preface my message with the fact that I'm what they call a WYSIWYG. For you, those of you who don't know what that means, it's what you see is what you get. I'm not generally conventional. The kids from Catalyst know this. And I don't claim to be as good at this as Pastor, or Brother Aaron, or Brother Chris, or Brother Jacob, or Brother Jeremy. And that's okay. Because I'm up here today to bring a message to you as a group, but more importantly, I'm up here as an extension of a group of young adults that Vic and I love dearly. And have had the privilege to sow into for various periods over the time, over the last past year and 9 months. Before I really get started and I stand in front of you today, I want to first say thank you to Pastor and Sister Diane for being instruments in God's plan for me. I've always joked to people that God took his time with me and brought me along in stages and with an extreme sense of humor. And the people that I've talked to, you know exactly what I'm talking about from the stories that I've told. And I've always claimed that I would never do this. Another chuckle. And this is a graduation of sorts for me as well. So whether I ever do this more than maybe once a year, I want our teams to see, through me, what God's love and grace.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Can do in a person's life. And before we go too much farther, I wouldn't mind making sure that we call out these seniors so they can be recognized. So, as I call your name, if you could stand up, please. Alyssa Wheeler. Hannah Smith. Naomi McDaniel. Kaylee Ward. There she is. Preston Moody. Christian Lediker, and Katie Spaulding. If you would, please, we're so very proud of what they've done, what they've accomplished, getting to this place in their life. If everybody could just take a moment to recognize them and say congratulations. Church celebrate you, our seniors, a significant milestone you all have reached in your lives. As part of reaching a milestone like this, it represents the end of one chapter in your life and the beginning of another. There are many reasons for you and others to be excited. You finally got past the day in, day out, hallway walking drudgery, or dealing with a parent asking if your homework's done. For some of you, it might be that feeling that you're officially transitioning into adulthood and should be taken more seriously now. For others, it might be that sense of liberty that you feel about stepping into the next adventure, where it will be more you and less your parents. For the parents, it might be the sense of pride that your baby is growing up. And also, maybe that the grocery bill and noise level is going to become a little more favorable. I speak personally on this note. So as I prayed and pondered and probably sweated over this message, my challenge was to give you all something that fits me. Something that fits where I've been leading our youth for a while. Hopefully, for everyone else here today, you'll find a place of refreshing in this as well. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. If you'll all stand with me for the reading of the Word. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Heavenly Father, I come to you today in prayer that your Spirit will anoint my words, that ears will be open to hear, and that your will be done in the lives of our children in the transitional time of their lives. Lord, we can never thank you enough or love you enough for who you are and what you've done for us. All glory and praise be to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So my message today is, can I get a witness? And I'll get back to the scripture in just a minute. Now, beyond all the excitement of graduation, there comes the next thing that jumps into the front of each of you, which is, what's next? The real question that you have in front of you now is, how do you grow from here to make the most of your life? When it comes to life after high school, for some of you, this will mean more education, college, graduate study, learning a trade. For others, it will mean working a bit, figuring out what's a good fit for you. Then there's the other things like how to cook a meal, how to not ruin the laundry, how to make ends meet, how to manage your bills, etc. There's a lot to take in. Whatever these things are that you're tasked with in becoming more mature. For the first time, you're all taking a step away from that life where your actions are guided by someone other than you. And you get the privilege, I'm going to quote, you get the privilege of knowing that every decision that you make and every effort that you take is ultimately your own and affects you and the lives around you.
Right. Good.
Stepping into this strange, challenging, distrusting, and demanding world, it can almost feel like enough to deal with the noise. Mm-hmm. The anxiousness to prove your worth, anxiety trying to figure out what you want to be, and the eagerness to see what you can do on your own. As young Christians, just getting your first real taste of freedom, and that's probably an entire other message on reality, okay? That's probably a message all on its own. You have to balance this taste with what you've been taught, that there's supposed to be more to life than what you have, where you go, or how happy you are in your earthly lives. Just like your question about your next steps in career and otherwise, it's also about how do you grow from here as independent Christians.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, I can't answer the first part for you about your earthly existence, but maybe I can shed a little bit of light on the second part. I might even be able to help tie a bit of it together for you.
Yes. Good.
I'm going to incorporate some help from an example given from another group of graduates from the early 30s. Not the 1930s, not the 1830s, not the 1730s. The 30s. As just described in Acts, the general time when Jesus left his students standing on a mountainside outside Jerusalem in the most unique of graduations.
Yeah.
Instead of these students leaving the stage, as they're called, the teacher leaves. Instead of the best student giving a speech, it is their teacher who gives them final words before ascending to be with the Father.
Wow, that's good.
Before Jesus leaves, this class asks him a question. In verse 6 and 7 in Acts, It says, "Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority.'" Now, like most graduates, they want to know how and when the purpose of all that education and effort is going to pay off. For this group, that's the restoration of Israel, which is really the healing and reconciliation of all things under heaven. This is what they've been working towards.
Right.
But like many parents or mentors, Jesus understands that people tend to talk about the end game but lose sight of where things begin.
Good.
He knew better than we do. He basically says, you don't need to worry about that.
Right. Yeah.
The first things first. Get a job.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar? The thing he explains to them is that they're to be witnesses. These words here are important. They're very important. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth."
Yeah. Good.
Yep. Good. So when he says you will be my witnesses, and I'm looking at you all because these are such important words, and you guys have been hearing some things from me over a while, and you know this is true. He's not saying that they should just be witnesses about what Jesus was supposed to do, supposed to be, or what he did at the time, but a representation of who he is in them.
Yes.
And what he continues to do through them.
Yeah, that's good.
And he didn't leave them to do this alone. He says they will have the Holy Spirit to help them do the job.
Amen.
This is important to remember.
Yes.
Now, if it were just to be a bunch of storytellers giving historical account of what Jesus did, what it was supposed to mean, instead of appointments to talk to people about that, just about anybody could have done it. Could have hired a historian to do that. They didn't even have, they wouldn't even have to believe it to do that.
Right.
When he states the Holy Spirit will be sent to be with them and give them power.
Yes, sir.
The question would be, why would they need power from the Holy Spirit to be Christ's witnesses? Because it's important.
Come on. Yes, sir.
It's important enough that one of the Godhead was sent to be with you. To seal you, to give you the opportunity to extend Christ, since he's not here in physical form. Now, he also states to the ends of the earth. Now, obviously, the earth has been continuing on long after the disciples were gone. Which means that the ends continues to spread and expand.
Right. Yes.
So somebody has to carry out the same principle. Somebody has to do the job.
Yeah.
Somebody has to understand that first things are first.
That's good.
Fast forward to today. Now in Catalyst, I'm going to get some smiles on this. In Catalyst, we had recent discussions that had to do with Palm Sunday. And the significance of Palm Sunday. And for a lack of another word, especially as it connects with the youth, the hype that went with Palm Sunday. It was an event.
Right.
And the people there, many of them were caught up in the moment. And a lot of those people that were caught up in the moment then turned their back on the Savior of the world. Or there were ones who saw it but didn't quite get the message, weren't quite where they needed to be. And then some that needed a person, or anybody, to continue showing them what the love of God means. Those same kinds of people exist today.
Yes, sir.
They need a witness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Because every day for us is Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
We've got to carry the energy.
Yeah.
We can't let the people who are in those states turn away. Don't let them lose what they know and carry them to what they don't. What goes into being a good witness for Jesus? Well, everybody has their own take on it. There are a lot of ways to interpret this.
Right.
So let me give you mine. I tried to find a scripture that I thought would sum up my take on it. And for any of you that know, I'm about simple, so we'll keep this simple. So what I came to was 1 Peter 3:15. Which says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect."
Yeah.
In so many words, it's probably something that, it's not a long sentence, but there's a lot in it.
Yes, sir.
It's packed in there. So let me try and break it down a little bit, what this means to us, or to you, these budding Christians that are stepping out into the world, what it means. First of all, it means that we need to keep pursuing our relationship with God.
Yes.
First and foremost. And it breaks down into a few things. How do we do that? Read His Word. Fast, slow, doesn't matter. Try to think about how it deals with you. Some people will tell you that the Bible is too dry. There's places where it's difficult to manage or digest. But if we make the effort to try and figure out where the words actually apply to something that we know, and believe me, it does, we can find the places where we can grow in it. Think about how it deals with something that you've seen or heard. And apply it the next day. Second, learn who God is to you and for you. And this starts with prayer. We've had a lot of discussions over there about prayer. Being specific in it. Trusting Him. Talk to Him. Don't talk at Him. Don't generalize. Talk to Him.
Yes.
Be specific in your prayer.
Yes, sir.
Don't hesitate to bring Him into the big things and the little things.
Amen.
Remember, this relationship is about faith and willingness to give yourself to Him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Right.
Thirdly, listen to Him. I've often told the group of Catalysts that I came to understand when God is nudging me in a direction, Pastor will probably laugh about this because I've told him the same story. I didn't always go willingly. But as I stand here today, doing something that I never intended to do, it's amazing how God will get you through things.
Right.
Or take you from the wrong things if you submit yourself to Him.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Opening yourself to the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to see things you couldn't see.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
It allows you to show people more than just you, which was the intention of this whole thing from the start.
Yeah.
Fourthly, look for Him. This is an interesting one. Now, many of you, do you know the pictures that you look at that look like a bunch of little tiles? It's colors. It's a picture of colors. But if you stare at it just the right way, if you, you know, cross your eyes a little bit, stare long enough, look at it long enough, you start to see a 3D image in the picture. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's us with God. Not the cross-eyed part.
Right.
Not the crossing your eyes part. Right?
Right.
But our appreciation for how we see Him working in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Around us is like that picture. If we keep looking and we look intently,
yes, sir.
Eventually, you'll start to see the picture. And you won't just start to see the picture once, you'll start to see the picture faster and more often.
Right. That's good. That's true. Good stuff.
It'll start showing up more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you start to see Him around you, the more your love and appreciation for Him will show to others.
Yeah.
Beyond working and improving our relationship, the other part that I think is embedded in that scripture is that we need to welcome opportunities to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Many times we tend to shy away from an opportunity to share our testimony with others, or let somebody see who we are for various reasons. But the problem with that is we're the ones who can make a difference to the people who don't hang around church.
Right. Yes, sir.
And to the young people, this message, I've said this before, is important more for you than anybody.
Right.
There's so many opportunities where you go where there are young minds that can be open to this but may not really understand who Jesus is.
Yes, sir.
How can people who don't know God lead others to God? It's like the blind leading the blind. They need somebody who can see.
Right. Yes, sir.
They need somebody who can see the picture.
Yeah.
And they need somebody who's willing to continue to try to see the picture. To show
That's
it.
Good. Good. Yes, sir.
Thirdly, we need to be authentic and thick-skinned. Another interesting point. People don't care about how much you know. I'm going to break this down really quick. People don't care about how much you know.
Right. Doing good.
They want to know about how much you care.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And they may not respond to you immediately. Maybe not at all. But that's not the point.
Right.
Your ability to see past where somebody is and to continue to love them, have love for them, provides the greatest opportunity for God to see His harvest fulfilled.
Yes, sir.
Some seeds grow differently. Some crops come up difficult. Do you stop tending to them? No. No. So going back to Acts, with Jesus and the disciples, okay, He's given them a job to do. He stated that He'll send help. And then in verses 9 and 10, it stated, after He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This is the same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven. Will come back in the same way you've seen Him go to heaven." He leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Graduation is over.
Yeah.
Amen.
Graduation is over.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone from their sight. For a while, they even stand there looking into the sky, amazed at what they figured out, talking amongst themselves where He left. And then they're confronted by two men in white who basically say, "Why are you still standing here?"
Yeah.
Why are you still standing?
Mm-hmm.
How often in life do we get to a certain point where we finally figure out what we need to do and go, "Oh, I get it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're nodding your head and looking into the distance, self-satisfied with what you've learned. And then somebody, might be a parent, mentor, boss, says, "Well, go ahead. Get with it."
Yeah. Good. Yes, sir.
There's no time to wait.
That's right.
Once you've figured it out, it's not good enough to figure it out. You got to get with it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
For anyone listening and knows how important this is, In Romans, it states that the wage of sin is death. The wage of sin is death. Mm-hmm. And there are people leaving this world every day who haven't found their way to the one thing that can take them past it.
Right. It's good, Brother Russell. Yes, sir.
This is for everyone.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I want you seniors to listen. Mm-hmm. You're early in your life. There's a lot of time to go get this done. There's a lot of people who don't understand this. And if there's anything that's available to you as a first things first, is to go get them. They haven't seen what we've seen. They haven't felt what we felt. The church is full of people who know Christ because someone saw them as God did. Think about that for a minute. We all weren't just born Christians.
Right.
I guarantee you that if you get a chance to talk to the people in this congregation or the people that have been to this church, you're going to find that there are a good many of them that didn't spend their entire life in perfect harmony with God's will.
Right. Yes, sir. Exactly.
And many of them weren't there at all. Mm-hmm. Didn't have the privilege of even having somebody close to them who could set the example and put them on the path to take them forward. To be the life. Somebody reached out, took an opportunity, showed them Jesus, and that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
And in your growth, there are people who are going to proclaim to be where they need to be. Part of your discernment is going to be to understand that they need more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Let me give you a perfect example. Myself. My walk as a Christian has not been steady.
Bless him, Jesus.
I spent many years understanding that God was there and not enough trying to understand who he really was to me. Mm-hmm. It took a long time and many small steps for me to get where I am today. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because I was fortunate enough to have people who could see the place where I was at and could see that I was open to listening. Uh-huh. That were willing to sow into me. That were willing to give me the words of encouragement. That were willing to take me farther than I was willing to go. And not give up when I wasn't ready to go there.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Throughout the course of the last 20 years, I have seen my faith steadily increase, and it hasn't just been alone. Speaking as somebody who has been attempting to walk in faith, I can tell you how hard it is and how important it is to have somebody continue to witness to you.
Yeah.
Who understands and sees the picture better than you do. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So your witnessing goes farther than that.
Yeah.
Hang on to the people that are trying to get in.
That's
move
good.
Them along.
That's good, Brother Russell.
Never assume that people are where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
If that would happen, if that had been me, there's no way you'd see me standing up here today. No.
Mm-hmm.
As I live and breathe, I can tell you that the joy that I've experienced from coming closer and being able to see that picture more for myself has been more fulfilling than anything that I have ever done in my life.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I've told the kid many times that when it comes to something that you can give as a gift, when you start to see that picture for yourself, when you start to understand what's there, when you truly understand the fullness of God, how could you not want to share it?
Right. Yes, sir.
How could you want to do anything,
yeah.
anything,
thank
but
you,
find
Jesus.
Your opportunity?
Thank you, Jesus.
To give somebody that gift. To take somebody to a place where they can understand how awesome God is.
Yes.
How spectacular that picture is.
Yes, sir.
How glorious He is based on what they see in you.
So true. Yes, sir.
You're a wonderful man. But you continue to be an extension of the most wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You have to be that light. First things first. And I don't know what time it is, so. And I don't know whether or not I should ask Chris and Cammy to come up. Not real familiar with this.
You're good.
But I'm getting close to wrapping up. Psalms 34, verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. How is anybody going to take the leap and taste and see unless there's somebody who's willing to say it or show it through their actions? This is such a wonderful verse, but it only matters to the people who are given the opportunity to land themselves into that picture where they can see.
Right.
How can they see the Lord's good unless they can have somebody show them? For me personally, in my transitions in life, the more I understand how much God loves me and how much I owe to Jesus, my need to do things that keep pushing me. My need, not the fact that I feel like I'm being pushed, my need to do things where I feel like somebody has given me the opportunity or pushed me to do it, become more relevant every time. I become more willing to do it because I understand the urgency. I understand what I have. I understand what I've seen. And I know you all do too. You can't let that slip away. Us being witnesses isn't just something that we're asked to do. It's the thing that we're asked to do. It's the one thing that the first graduates were asked to do. Without hesitation, it was clear. It's where we begin every phase of our lives as Christians. Goes back to the fact that never so many ways what we need to be. And our witness is not something that we take with us. It's something that's a part of us. As we move through transitions in life, the distractions and the temptations, if we try to stay focused on the one thing that Jesus asked of us before He left, I believe it can help us cope with the other things that challenge us in those transitions. The earthly things. It can help us experience the life that God wants us to have. A life that He says is more abundant. To experience the full benefit of what we can be and what we can have in this world as we prepare for the next. As other people see us finding that joy in the same world that they live in, we create opportunities for ourselves to fulfill the commission that Jesus gave to His original graduating class
right.
All those years ago. We have roads too. We have roads waiting for us too. Graduation doesn't mean that you're done. When you have a graduation, you may have a commencement. Commencement is a transition to the beginning of something else. In your graduation of where you are today, in transition, remember this is a commencement. This is a commencement to what you can do as you step out in faith. As you step towards God and you take somebody else with you. I'm so proud. I've seen him so much. I can only thank God for the things that he's shown me.
Thank you.
Let me be a witness.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
As you look and listen today, let me be a witness to you in your growth. God is so good. I see it in you. I see it in the seniors.
Yes.
I see the love they have for each other. I see new people coming into the Catalyst group, and I see them reaching out. I'm not the only one who sees it. But we've had people over there, and I know they see it. It's real. Be what Jesus asks us to be. Never forget the things that you've seen. Keep looking into the picture. Keep finding God where he is. And help somebody else see it too. I'm going to finish and say, I don't know if I'll ever do this again. We'll find out. But I'm so thankful that I can do this. God keeps showing me things. Look at the example of what you can do when you just give yourself to God. God is good.
Yes, he is.
He's more than good. He's great. I couldn't imagine going through this world anymore without him.
So good.
If it's okay, his things different at the end of the messages. I was kind of hoping that today, that when we call for prayer, that we could have the seniors come up to the front, and that we could gather the group around them in prayer, and have our shepherd of the church, lead us in prayer over our young adults as they transition into their new lives. So if I could get the seniors to come.